Here we are again. Don't mention the football episode 28. Again, it's another episode that's working over Skype with myself in England. And our co-hosts here today is Patrick and Cynthia. Say hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, this is Ben.
We are in Berlin for now, but unfortunately, I'll be going back to Canada soon.
Boo.
Yeah, boo.
boo, hiss.
Indeed. Definitely. Team Canada is being separated once again.
Yes. But we do have games to talk about.
We do.
In the meantime, so let's get to it.
We do.
The first game that we have to talk about is a home game against Paderborn, set on the background of some pretty appalling mess-ups on Hertha's part, and we were feeling a little bit glum last time. But things took a little bit of an upturn, which was just as well, really. For my part, I took part in a Hertha cycle ride by fans that went from Alexanderplatz on one side of Berlin, and we sort of wheedled our way around all the random streets in order to get to the Olympiastadion before the game. But Patrick and Cynthia were doing other things before the game, and they've recorded a string of little audio files, which I'm going to sort of play to our dear listener in just a moment. Including some predictions before that game, which we'll soon see how well we actually did when it comes down to it. So that'll be quite good. So
that's quite interesting things.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Nipping through to that introduction now, I will leave you with that.
All right, so it's 12:45. We are right now, me and the occasional co-host, Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello.
We are at Tempelhofer Feld right now for the Riesendrachen Giant Kite Festival, I guess. It's a gorgeous day. And yeah, we are slowly getting into game day mode. Well, we are like, we are not getting our drinking on yet.
That's coming shortly.
Yes. So right now we are at Hermannplatz. The Riesendrachen was rather disappointing, wouldn't you say?
It was a little disappointing, yes.
Yeah, I was there last year, and there seemed to be a lot more, giant kites and stuff like that. So now we are on our way to the Olympiastadion. So, yep. There you go. All right.
Right. So what do you think is going to happen today then, Patrick?
I expect to be... Okay, pardon my French, but I expect a defensive shit show from both teams. And I think...
Normal drill then.
Yes, exactly. Just another Saturday. But I think Hertha will be in trouble early. Maybe trail 2-1 or 2-0, and then come back and like snap a draw out of the jaws of defeat.
Yes.
Like I'd say 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that we might win, but it's the triumph of optimism over experience,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Cynth, what do you think?
All right. Well, I'm thinking it's going to be a clear win today.
Yes.
It's a beautiful day. We're going to have lots of energy. Just like these guys behind us.
Yes, exactly. So, score? Final score?
Final score. For predictions, I'm going to go 3-1.
Excellent.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Confidence. We like this.
What about you?
Draw.
Draw. Yes.
Okay.
Right, we better get to our seats now. So, off we go. Okay, we're back from that. And, what can we say about that Paderborn game?
Well, I mean, we were too late to be there, but I think you met some pretty interesting people before the game.
Actually, I was there late myself, really, because of the cycle ride, and basically I was yapping to people at a bar outside the ground before we went in. But yeah, there was a bunch of people from Hatter North America that were there. At least some of them were for Hatter North America, and I managed to meet up with them at half time. So it was a great crowd there. A quick shout out to Joel, who is at JTJBax on Twitter. Hi, Joel. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Another Canadian. Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yeah, from Ottawa. There was a whole bunch of people there, and I can say I think it was Joel's stag do, as we would say in England. But it was bachelor party. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yep. So
there was nine or ten of them there, and they were having a nice time, and it was a good game for them to go and watch, and Joel was our sort of lucky charm on that instance. So thank you very much. You can come again.
Indeed, because I mean there was something for everyone during that game.
Yes. Even it was a random day. I mean, it really was.
Well, yeah, like the most random things. There was almost a fight before halftime, and there were a couple of yellow cards thrown in here and there. And there was also a streaker.
Whoa!
A streaker.
I can talk all about the streaker all day if you want. Oh,
we have, dear listener, we have a streaker expert here.
We completely missed a goal because there was a streaker. Well,
yeah,
on the...
yeah, exactly. I mean, we were in section 02, and the streaker did his thing like pretty much right before us. Right in front of us, and I've been to maybe 12 ESTA games, and it was the first streaker that I saw, that I've seen.
And I was wondering, I looked at Patrick and I said, is that a streaker? Like, really? Like, I know that you see this in, like, CFL games in Canada, but this is not something I have ever seen in Berlin.
You used to see it every now and again.
This isn't really happening.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, yeah, it was my first streaker, I guess. And it was so captivating that that guy made us miss the paddlebone goal, actually.
It was a goal, and we completely missed it because we're watching the streaker. And it was so funny because the guy runs onto the field, and then the security guard saw him, and he was a bit of a big dude. So he's trying to chase the streaker, who was super fit and super fast. Right off the field.
So, from what I could see,
and
from,
he was able to avoid a few stewards.
Oh yeah, he did a great job. I mean, wow, he was fast.
Yeah, and apparently he was good. He was nice to look at as well.
Oh, he was absolutely nice to look at. I could see half his ass by the end, and I just thought, all right, leave the rest. Come on.
I didn't realize.
Because like you know, there was so much of a reaction. That I couldn't help myself. I had to, you know, film the
this is good, Patrick, to actually film
I had to film the entire thing on my phone, and I was so, you know, focused on it, and I kind of heard the crowd go
there was probably too many men in the crowd. The women are cheering, going, "Oh my God, there's a streaker! There's actually an awesome guy to look at."
Yeah, and afterwards, I realized, "Oh my God, yeah, that reaction must have been because Paderborn scored, and I completely missed it."
We were thinking it's a streaker, and we're going, "Okay, this is great. The streaker's here."
Exactly. And if like next time someone talks to you tells you about you know, tunnel vision. It's real.
Yes.
I can confirm it. It is real. Like, I think a nuclear bomb could have, you know, fallen next to us. I think we would have missed it. It was, yeah, it was. As a Hertha fan, I'm kind of ashamed that a streaker made me miss like that, you know, that is such an important part of the action, like as a goal during a game, but yeah, I completely missed it because once the guy was taken away to never to be heard of again, I guess, I looked up and the scoreboard said 2-1. 2-1?
What happened?
All right. So we have a shout out to the streaker. So whoever the streaker is, please call me. My name is Sin. I am just so impressed with your style. I mean, we just completely missed a goal. We had no idea what was going on. We were watching you. So streaker, please contact me.
Yeah, and you need to tell me about your training program because whatever it is, it's working.
It's definitely working.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, streaker.
Yeah.
What I missed, because... I was sort of looking at the game after a while, is that he took off and he went up the steps.
After a while,
he went up the steps by the marathon tour.
I honestly have no idea where he came from, but like at some point, I think I was tweeting about like the goal, Ertel's goal. And then I looked up, and there was this guy, you know, running next to Yashta, and then, you know...
Fabulous
okay, I'm not going to comment on that, but like, one hapless steward running after him, and like completely failing at his job, and then, you know, then the streaker, you know, jumping over the board and all that. But I honestly, I had no idea where the guy came from.
No,
all of a sudden he just jumped on the field. I mean, he came out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
It was magical. I'm going to use the word magical.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it might be a first on this podcast, so yeah. You know.
Yeah, look, I've seen it in CFL games, but I have never, ever seen it.
Have you seen it in Australia?
Yeah, of course. Everyone just gets their gear off in Australia. Yeah, mate, I'll just run onto the field, no worries. You know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, that happens, but I mean, it's Berlin. I mean, you know, are you really going to run out and streak? Well, this guy did it. So again, my name is Vince.
We put our contact details in the show notes. Streakers only need apply.
I mean, it was brilliant, really.
Yeah.
I just want to say... thank you.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, let's try and keep this get this back on track.
Oh, sorry,
back on track. No. It's completely okay. What I was surprised about is the stats after the game, because Paderborn had a clear advantage of possession and shots on goal as well.
I was quite.
You know, we won 2-1, but. I mean, and I remember Yashtan having to make a couple of saves. I mean, it could have been a loss. It could have been a home loss.
I mean, I was quite surprised looking at the stats, really, because what I had written down, that it was possession was 38% to 62%.
Yes.
Which was...
Yeah, exactly.
And shots, 6 to Hertha, 13 to Paderborn, which... it's quite scary, really. I mean, luckily, out of those 6, we got 2. Yeah.
Yes. But, like, I mean, Hertha is not... I mean, possession is one thing. I think I've mentioned it before. If you are, like, a counter-attacking team, possession is not the end of the world, but that's not the case with Hertha. So, you know, if you're getting killed at home... 60-40 on position, it's not ideal. And, you know, corner kicks...
Endless corners. I mean, I haven't got the stats for the corners written down, but there were... It seemed like there were hundreds.
Yeah, they had a bunch of them. I mean, right here, I got 8-1.
Yeah.
So that's... fouls were equal, and yellow cards were equal as well, and the rest was even pretty much. But I think
because there was
I don't
nearly
like to use that word, but I think we got lucky.
Yeah,
you know,
it could have gone the other way quite easily, but it didn't.
Yeah,
luckily.
Big time.
You mentioned the fouls.
Hey.
You mentioned the fouls, you also mentioned it was almost like a fight at half time, Because I think that was, it was Selke, wasn't it? They were squared up against somebody. Because whoever that somebody was did a foul and took out one of our players, and Selke really didn't like it very much, and puffed his chest up.
It's
and
exception to it.
Yeah. So they both got yellow cards for the privilege.
But I mean, it since you're mentioning Selke, I think he got subbed off during the following game at Köln.
Yep.
And I think the trainer, I'm forgetting his name right now for some reason. I'm sorry. I think he took the time to talk to him for a few seconds before Ibišević came on. So I know that I've been hearing things about so some people have been worried about Selke being maybe not. Not being phased out of the team, but maybe not having such an active role as he did before.
He's not had a happy spell of it of late, has he? He's had quite a lot of game time, and not that much has come up out of it. It must be sort of sapping his confidence, which is probably why it's Kovac, isn't it? The trainer. Trying to give him a bit of a lift as he came off in the Köln game.
And also, I mean, we are going to talk about the next game shortly, but it probably doesn't help that whoever. I'm going to keep it a mystery for a few seconds. Whoever came in for Selke during the Köln game scored two goals in a few minutes' time.
That
probably didn't help for the confidence.
It isn't. It isn't really. But,
I mean, I gotta say, it's worth mentioning how awesome Gilrosson's goal was in the 10th minute.
Absolutely.
Around four Paderborn defenders, it was brilliant.
That was a completely remarkable, outstanding goal, really.
Yes.
Because I mean, I looked at the highlights and counted it, and I think he managed to skip past five defenders, which is pretty neat. Yeah. But that goal was just. He should never have been able to do that. It was almost like he was totally surrounded by Paderborn defenders, and somehow he managed to wriggle through the lot of them. He's left one-on-one with the keeper. Bang.
Yeah, just for a fraction of a second, it's like everyone stopped, and he just made the right move at the right, just at the right time, and boom,
pretty magical, really. He's quite a remarkable player. We're quite lucky to have him. I think looking at the highlights that were on, I think there was a handball, in the lead up to that with Marvin Plattenhardt.
Plattenhardt, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Yeah. There definitely was, and I'm kind of surprised that the video replay didn't catch it, or is it? How can I say? Is it part of the video replay?
You can see how the ref might not have seen it at the time. I'm not quite sure about the rules about people, with the video, whether somebody comes in afterwards or because perhaps it wasn't a clear and obvious mistake because they could understand that he might not have seen it. So I don't know. Anyway, it wasn't given. So. And 1-0 it was,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know that VAR is a big thing in the Premier League right now, and they've been talking about reviewing its scope, because it's killing the flow of the game pretty much.
Yeah.
And what do you want to use it for exactly? And how long do you want to wait for the replay to be analyzed? And blah blah blah. We've had the same issue in hockey in North America. Mm. Like, you know, the game stops for like up to 5 minutes sometimes, so that, you know, a couple of guys can watch the replay on an iPad or hear instructions from the main office in Toronto that, you know, who are watching all games on giant screens. It's killing the flow of the game, and I don't know if there is a perfect solution to this, honestly.
It's difficult. I mean, it's an important thing to have for some of those sort of key things of goals being scored, especially bearing in mind the amount of money that's involved with it. But it mustn't, you know, it's got to happen quickly. I think it was that game where there were offsides given. I think it was near the end, of the game, and there were two offsides given against Selke in both cases. I think it was.
There were two disallowed goals.
Yes.
Weren't there? Or
yes.
At least one, or probably two.
But both were given were disallowed goals because he was offside. But I think it was the first one where it went to VAR, and they put up on the screens in the stadium that it was they were checking for offside, and it was a goal. And then everybody sort of went, oh, that's good, we've scored a goal. Mm-hmm. And then they changed it and said, oh,
I remember that.
No, it wasn't. So that was somebody pressing the wrong button in the stadium somewhere, I suppose. I don't know, but yeah, people weren't very happy about that. That's a bad
people
mistake to make.
People were not happy about that.
No, understandably so as well. Really.
I guess they will have to find. They will have to find a way. A middle ground, I suppose. But like you're saying, it's a question of a big box, and you want to, you know, keep the game moving, and you don't want to kill the atmosphere inside the stadium.
Mm.
So
all important, but I mean, I've seen some horrendous decisions that were clearly wrong before in the past, and you know, when you've got Champions League places and this kind of thing being involved with it, it's I wouldn't pretend to know exactly what the best answer is, but we can do without things happening like without Selke offside in that game, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Oh, well. But that's not up to us to...
It is. It is not indeed.
But if you wanted to, like, before we started recording, you mentioned something else. You mentioned Blau-Weiß Stadion protest.
Yeah. It's not so much a protest as I understand it. I know some of the people in our fan group are sort of quite actively involved in this, but there's a movement which is sort of Blau-Weiß Stadion, which is a fan base group that are trying to, you know, campaign, if you like, towards having a new stadium. And they want it to be hence the name, sort of a blue and white stadium. I mean, ideally within the Olympic Park, because they want to sort of hold on to the tradition. I mean, Hertha's been there since 1963, so that's most people's lifetime pretty well. So they want to try to hold on to some of that if they can. Plus, within the Olympic Park, you've got pretty good transport links. To get to it, because you've got an U-Bahn close by, you've got an amazing S-Bahn station, really, to be fair, which is an important thing. But I think the idea is what they're trying to get is for Hertha to have a smaller stadium that can be, you know, filled to the top, and the Hertha fans can make a lot of noise. I mean, you know, Hatter fans are really pretty good at making a lot of noise already. I mean, the Ostkurve is a pretty loud place, mm-hmm. but if you had that kind of intensity, sure. that kind of volume in a smaller stadium without the open end where the marathon tour is now, then the idea is being the atmosphere will be absolute electric. I mean, I can see that. I really can. That's what they're sort of pushing for. And they're sort of talking to sort of the, you know, local politicians and having meetings with Hertha, as I understand it, to try to put the sort of fans' agenda forward to both sides. The Senate offered a place on Tegel Airport. Because long term they're talking about closing Tegel, which would be not good for me personally. But
That's been going on for years. Yeah, closing Tegel.
I don't know if that will ever happen. We'll see. I think there's moves afoot because I think they were doing final testing of the Brandenburg Airport. Was that last week? So they're going to make a decision as to whether it's able to open. I've forgotten when the decision was supposed to be out by, but hey, it'll probably be sometime in the next century, I would imagine.
I think maybe I'm not an expert on all, you know, different topics to be considered, but what probably would be awesome is a smaller stadium next to the Olympiastadion, but without a running track, so that the pitch would be super close to the first row, like in England.
Yep.
That would be amazing. Yeah. And if there was a way to get acoustics, to have your good noise level. Yeah.
That's exactly what these guys are campaigning for.
That would be
in a location that's got really good transport links, and that's exactly what they're campaigning for. And I really love the Olympiastadion, but I can really see where they're coming from as well.
So it's true that in the dead of January or February against Wolfsburg, there might be a game with 30,000 people in a 77,000 people stadium.
I've been there many times.
Also true.
I mean, this is the way Berlin sort of works. You have tons of people that are there. They're supporting everyone. That all the fans are there. And then when you have this cold and dark type of season, of course, there's about half the people.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
They'll go and watch it, but they'll go and watch it in a Kneipe somewhere and in the warm.
Yeah, you're going to go to a friend's place, you're going to open some vodka, you're going to have a good time with your mates, you're going to
We used to have a really good Kneipe just around the corner from us in Berlin that we used to go to sometimes before a game. Most times we're around, we sort of went in there for a meal and what have you. But one time we went in there and had all the sort of Hertha clobber and what have you on. And somebody asked us, are you going to the game? Yeah, well, yeah. And they said, I'll blow that for a game. It's too cold. We're going to watch it here. And it happens. And you see bars and things with signs out saying, live Hertha games here. Watch it in the stadium. But it's in February. It's pretty cold and miserable sometimes. Not by Canadian standards. I know it's not that cold, but
of course. Is that place near you still?
No, open? Sadly, like a lot of old traditional Kneipes like that, it closed. Well, it closed down for a while. Somebody else has taken it over, and it's now sort of like a gastro pub kind of thing. And it's just not the same. It's not the same people that. It's not got the same feel to
that's
it.
A shame. Unfortunately,
it's happening all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, you find a nice place like that, and then you know, a couple of months later, it seems to shut down. Because we went there for years. We didn't have to order drinks. We just sort of walked in, and the guy there just came along and gave them to us. So, hey. Another thing that's sort of worth mentioning about this stadium business, I think somebody from the Senate, I'm not quite sure who, I mean, offered the, because they're not keen on the idea of Hertha moving out of the Olympiastadion, because that's the sort of like the main tenant for the venue, and they offered, you know, improved Wi-Fi, and they could have blue and white LED lighting or something to make it more sort of Hertha-ish. But I think they might have to do a bit more than that to tempt people to stay somehow.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah, it's...
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's always a... not a dark cloud, but there's always some uncertainty. I'm going to see the rant for Hertha at the Olympiastadion is until 2024, I think.
25, I think. Might be wrong on that.
Okay.
Might be wrong.
Yeah, it's still for a few years, because I remember when Hertha got the...
Prost!
I remember when Hertha got relegated to the Bundesliga 2. Something that I hope I will never have to live again.
Yeah, ditto.
I remember asking, like, so will they be, you know, allowed to keep playing in the Olympiastadion? Because I had no idea, you know. A second division team playing in a 75,000 people stadium, that, you know, that sounded like, that was odd. But,
well,
yeah, no,
1860 Munich play in the Allianz Arena, because I think they used to. I think, as far as I know, they still do. And that must be pretty well empty, I would have thought. But anyway.
Yeah.
The ongoing saga of Hertha and the Olympiastadion. What can we do?
Yeah. But that's relatively new, because like a few years ago, I don't remember them talking about that. Right.
It's been on the boil for ages. They've talked about it, but for a while it was thought to be just a ploy so that the rent didn't go too high in the Olympiastadion. But they've really sort of made a bit of a commitment here. Now, presumably they feel a bit more confident because of the funding and things that might come in from this sort of new guy. Lars Windhorst.
Lars Windhorst.
That's the one. Yeah, he's putting a lot of money in. He's shelled out a lot of money already, and talking about putting more in.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Does
he have like big plans for the club or what?
Well, there's been talk about it in the press about him wanting to. You know, his ambition is to get Hertha into sort of Champions League sort of position. That's ambitious. But we'll see.
Yeah, that seems audacious. That seems bold, right?
In all fairness, as I understand it, I mean, I'm not an expert about it at all, but as I understand it, he's talking about this being a sort of like quite a long-term commitment kind of thing. Yeah, sort of like 10, maybe 20 years. But I guess he's sort of kind of hoping that he's going to get, sort of that level of football fairly soonish. Because he's going to be wanting to have some money coming back into the club. I mean, he's already chucked in. I think he started off with 125 million for a chunk of the shares of the professional club. And I think another 100 million is coming on the way, so that's
a
big chunk of the cost of a new stadium, if they can find someone to build it. But
hey,
I don't know. Time will tell.
On this note, post again.
Post again.
Yeah.
Nipping back to the Paderborn game, because Dilrosun scored that amazing goal, which I could watch again and again. In fact, I may well do. He got an assist, didn't he, in the second half, because he was sort of coming down the left hand side, and he knocked the ball over to it's Wolf, wasn't it, Marius Wolf?
He was wide open. I couldn't believe it wide open he was, and then
He just whacked it in. But the ball went right across, and there wasn't a defender to get in the way. There was, and it just went right across, and bang.
I was amazed that it could go down to that.
It was quite remarkable.
No one around him for like 10 yards all around him. He was wide open.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was remarkable. In a different way from the first goal by Dilrosun. I mean, that was just sort of dribbling around all these players and then scoring.
That was a strong effort, yeah.
But that one, for him to... He put that pass right across the box, all the way through all the defenders, going pretty well straight to Marius Wolf, and who was then able just to slot it because he was out there, going for a walk in the park. It's just crazy.
An amazing setup. That was a brilliant pass.
So 2-0 in that one, but of course they I think it was 2 minutes later they blew it. I think Stark was napping
scored,
a bit.
Then the streaker came in, and then Paderborn scored.
See, they were thinking about the streaker. They just lost all concentration. That's what it was. But
there is no going around the streaker. The streaker, looms above us all.
But there was, it's like 30 minutes or so after that, including, some of the two disallowed goals. I think one was from Derrida and one was from Selke. But there was quite a long time there.
I'll be honest, I don't remember. I remember the Kern highlights more.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that was good. It was nice to have a home win after a set of pretty dismal results.
It was getting to a point that people were starting to question the coach, and it was more than needed. That win came at the right time.
It did. I mean, in the previous podcast, we sort of said, because that was after a series of not such good results, that it would be, these games could be really important because we could just get some wins and then the confidence comes back and so on. But if we were to lose them, we would be in deep poo. But luckily, we've got a couple of wins.
And that was a good choice of words.
Yes, I was being very refrained there.
Oh, that's very typical Simon, isn't it?
But absolutely. And I think I said that it was these were two very winnable games, and fortunately, they won both. So.
We won them, but the thing is, we've now played two teams that are right at the bottom. I think they've both just been promoted, haven't they? I think I'm right in saying, but
Paderborn and Kern, I think, were two freshly promoted teams,
and they're both sort of down near the bottom. And now it's nice that we've beaten them, especially Cologne, beating them as like we did. But now we've got to play some other teams, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's helped with the confidence. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. Are you alright?
Yeah, fine. I'm good.
I'm looking at the rest of the schedule for the next month. We got Düsseldorf. We got Bremen. We got Offenheim, we got Dresden, Dresden is for the Pokal. So we got Düsseldorf, Bremen, Offenheim, and Union, and then Leipzig, and then Augsburg. and then Dortmund to close out November. All right. There are some winnable games in there. They could probably, play for 500, two wins, two losses, two draws. That could be reasonable, probably.
Yeah, well, we'll see soon enough. And it's not that long now till Düsseldorf. That's, Saturday, is it? Yeah. It's
Yes. October 4th. That's Friday. Yes, Friday.
Oh, is it Friday night? Oh, yes, Friday, you're right. Yes, yes, yes.
Düsseldorf. Yes, Friday night. Exactly. So
I did toy with the idea of spending.
I'll be in the air on my way to from Paris to Montreal.
Yeah. Yes, we told you the idea of spending the weekend sort of nipping off to Poland for the weekend because the game's on the Friday night, and then just jumping on the train and going to Poznan or something just have a poke around. But I think we might just chill out instead.
That sounds like a good time.
Yep, chilly.
Poland for a weekend. Yep.
Oh, I'd love to go to Poland for a weekend.
Just going along to Just go along to Swibica over the Oder from Frankfurt Oder. There's some nice little restaurants there, and some supermarkets where you can get mind-numbingly cheap spirits, which is good fun.
It's a date. Let's do it.
Frankfurt am Oder is a place that I've been. It's been on my list. Like
it's really close to Berlin. You can just jump on the train and you're there in 50 minutes or so, something like that. And then you just leg it over the bridge. I mean, historically, that bridge, and if you go back, I don't know, sort of 9 years or so, there was a lot of the border, it's like blocks of concrete, and there were sort of like guard huts and what have you. The first time that we drove over that bridge, which must have been, God knows, probably about 9 or 10 years ago, there were still border guards on the bridge with machine guns and things. All very, very impressive.
Wow!
But
wow.
It's all you
okay,
just.
I don't remember
that. There's nothing there now. You just people drive across. A lot of people from Germany go over there to buy cheap cigarettes and definitely cheap petrol because it's a lot cheaper over there. So the people in Frankfurt Oder will drive over the border, get their petrol, and then come back again, which is fine. Anyway, we digress totally.
Yeah. But this is what this is about. You know, this is the MTF. And again, we got a total of zero, meanings for the acronym, the MTF.
I've had more
meanings from. Thank you. Or, dismissing multiple true facts.
Dismissing true facts is an important thing with Hertha.
you get the idea. Yeah. Please, anyone who is listening, anyone who is left. Still listening to this. Use your imagination and go crazy. The MTF. And what does it stand for?
What does it stand for? And we have Team Canada here. We have Team UK here. Very nice.
Should we move on to Cologne? I haven't got much written down about that other than the scoreline, which was quite impressive. I think quite fairly early on, I think it was Drexler got subbed off with a thigh strain.
There we go.
Which I don't, as I remember it, I think he just reached for the ball. He just sort of stretched.
Patrick just picked up the statistics. So, ah. Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, so what have we got?
Drexler was subbed off at the 6th minute.
Yeah.
Was it because of an injury?
I think so, yeah. If I'm picturing the right incident, he sort of stretched his leg out to try to get a ball, and it didn't quite work, and he twanged the inside of his thigh.
Yeah.
I think he tried to carry on for a bit, and it just wasn't going to happen. So he got subbed off really quickly, which was...
Okay, so Simon is on this. Definitely.
Yeah,
that's probably didn't help. Oh yeah, and I saw the highlights a few minutes ago. Darida seemed to have a really dynamite game because he had two assists.
Yeah.
And he seemed to be all over the place.
I saw some polls and things on Twitter, sort of asking, do you think player X, Y, Z. Were the key players for Hertha during the course of that game. It was including Ibisevic and Boyata was another one, Darida, and a fourth player that I can't remember, but Darida came out on top by some margin. So, yeah, he had a corker of a game. But it wasn't that long into it.
And, of course, we would be... I know that we have... there is... one Hertha, diehard Hertha fan out there, Anna, not to name her, who is crazy about Ibisevic. And soon as Zelke came off, Ibisevic came in, and he made an immediate impact. Yeah. That's a super sub, if there is one. Mm. Like first touch, one goal, and the third touch, I think, scored again. You can't really ask for anything more than that.
No, not really. It would be unreasonable.
I'm sorry?
You could ask for more than that, but it would be quite unreasonable.
Well, exactly.
I think somebody tweeted at the time, because I was sort of sitting there watching it on the telly, and I had my phone tweeting away, as you do. And somebody tweeted about, he's had two touches and he's scored two goals, and they couldn't wait for his third touch, going for the hat trick.
I don't know how the future setups will work against other teams, in the near future. But if I could kind of see Ibisevic as a super sub.
Mm. I mean, as he gets older, the time that he can play for is going to get less. That's no disrespect to him at all.
Yeah, exactly. You sub him on in the 60th, 70th minute.
Mm.
Maybe you can, change things around and open things up, and that could be an interesting way of doing things.
Forgotten at what stage it is. You probably got the stats out in front of you, but there was a red card incident played out.
I saw it in the highlight. It was Mere, the 41st.
Yeah.
41st minute. And it was a reckless play. It was worth a red.
I mean, he got a yellow card straight off. looking at it, his boot, well, it was high, first of all, and B, it went right down Dorita's shin, and you could see it pulled his sock down in the process of doing it. I think VAR was involved with that as well, and it was changed to a straight red. Yeah. And looking at it, rightly so,
afterwards.
Had to be. Yeah, so
yeah,
things were not going very well for Cologne at that point.
Oh yeah, that changed the course of the game, but it's odd because if you look, stats don't tell the whole story, but still, stats for the entire game was still Köln had possession 54 versus 46%, and shots on goal, 9 shots. And 3 shots on goal for Köln, and 10 shots and 6 shots on goal for Hertha. So
if you look at the conversion rate, though, right, you've got six shots on goal, and they scored four of them. I mean, that's efficient.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Because nothing pisses me off more than a shot that misses the net.
Yeah.
Like, at least force the goalie, okay, that's Canadian.
That's very Canadian.
Force the goalie to make a save. Force the goalie to make a save. You know, don't miss the net because, like, okay, in hockey,
you're not going
to
score a goal if you're not on target.
Bounce off the boards and you know, keep in play, but stay in play. But if you miss the net in football, it's a goal kick and you wasted your chance. You know.
Yeah. The thing is worth mentioning that Dilrason, again, he scored the first one, I think. It was completely against the flow of play, as I remember it, anyway.
That's true.
The ball got knocked back to him, and he banged it in. And thank you very much.
Another thing that was worth mentioning, and I think Kern hit the crossbar twice during that game. So it
could have gone another way.
4-0, but it could have gone either way, you know. It's funny how that goes sometimes.
I mean, having said that, I mean, we sort of mentioned the two goals from Avicevic and things after a substitution, but you're saying about hitting the bar, but there was an amazing bit where there was a goal clearance by Jarstein, who looked up ahead to see what was going on up the field, and he kicked the ball right down to Dilrason. And who was onside?
I saw that. Yeah, that was
beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that was.
And Dilrason it was amazing. It was really absolutely spot on.
Oh yeah, that was delightful.
He sort of ran through there and got through and got his shot away. But that was only beaten by the bar. If it had been just a little bit lower, then that would have been such a beautiful piece of football.
Jarstein would have had an assist. I love when that kind of play happens, and it doesn't happen that much. But it showed great awareness, by Jarstein, you know, and really great accuracy, getting the ball right at the perfect spot. It came so close to another goal that would have been.
He has had criticism before in the past about his sort of distribution, about sort of putting the ball forward and what have you. And Kraft before him, to be fair, had an even more of an issue with that, I think, really. But I mean, that showed great awareness and sort of intelligence to sort of see what the field was doing up ahead and then taking the ball right to the right place. It was pretty damn hot. That was really, really good. So coming away from that game, there's a pretty good buzz, really. That was that was quite nice. I left
even
my...
Even though, apparently... go ahead.
I left my Hertha flag out, because I've got a Hertha flag that I fly during match days and things here. I left it out for an extra day by way of a celebration of that amazing result. And then overnight, it got a bit drafty here in England, and the flagpole got snapped in the wind. So I ended up having to retrieve the flag and the remains of a pole, from the neighbour's garden. But hey, it was worth it. I can always get another flagpole.
I think we had some kind of like. I'm not going to say tropical storm, but some kind of massive storm early yesterday morning.
Oh, really?
Here in northern Germany as well. And, you know, there were trees falling onto the S-Bahn tracks and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And some flights had to delay their landing because the wind was too strong.
Yeah. Well, it must have been a bit windy here. That's for sure. So, a quick mention to my friend in Berlin, Ines. Don't have to worry, Ines. The flag is fine, and I can always replace the pole. She was very worried that it'd be a bad omen if the flag had been damaged, but no, we're good.
Oh yes, yeah. She mentioned that. That's true.
On Twitter,
and also, I gotta give a sympathy shout out to the away fans who traveled back from Köln, and I think the restaurant compartment was closed or something.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they hadn't had any food. And or drink, so they're a bit miffed about that. So, but I'll gather it opens later, so it wasn't so bad. So, yeah, the joys of going to away matches by train.
that's always a risk. And I mean, honestly, I gotta tip my hat to whoever goes to away games, because you know it's still a big time commitment, and my glass is empty, sorry.
Oh.
And it's still a big time commitment, and logistics are not even always perfect. So you know that can be a massive pain in the ass, honestly.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It's even worse when your team plays like crap and loses.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah. 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 Remember, we went to Hamburg to watch them play HSV a few years ago now, and we've had a long, illustrious history of beating Hamburg. But of course, when I went, we didn't, and there it was a sort of pretty grey, grotty sort of time, and the weather wasn't very good, and all those people that had travelled up to Berlin. And then, you know, you have a game like that and half the ultras and things weren't allowed in the ground they boycotted the ground because there was some trouble beforehand. The whole thing was a bit of a catastrophe, really. But and then all those people had to go back to Berlin by train. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Brutal.
Hats off to them for doing it all. That's how I said.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
One thing I'll slot in at the end if I didn't mention it at the start is that we've got a quick hello from Jan, who's with his new baby.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah,
and
true.
And
yeah.
The dear listener will be able to hear said baby in the background while Jan says his hello. So I'll put that in here.
I can't be there with you at the moment because we had a baby, and I'm not sure exactly when I will have time to be back on the podcast. I hope you still listen to the other guys and you enjoyed the win against Cologne. Bye.
I think that's it for this recording. Quick shout out to Bundesliga Fanatic who said that they will help us promote our podcast so it gets to more than one listener, which would be quite nice of them. I'll tag them into the tweet we do once we get it up. So with
thank
no
you.
Further ado,
much appreciated.
Yes, it would be appreciated.
Yes, yeah, sorry. And if I can just jump in, I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but I say like way too much. I apologize. But during the paperboard game. Anyway,
we could make a board game out of it.
I would have liked to meet a few members from the Hertha North America club before the game, but I got there too late. I apologize. It would have been nice to meet you guys, but next time, hopefully. But at least we got a result. We got a win.
Yep.
And until next time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I think that's a wrap. So it's goodbye until the next time.
Yes, and thank you for allowing me to co-host again.
And thank you, Simon.
Absolute pleasure.
It was enjoyable.